So I'm going to talk to you about these new production security guidelines that the production security working group at the CDSA spent most of last year converting the controls that they've been using to audit facilities like Technicolor, et cetera, and converting them into practical production guidelines for the production workspace. And the idea behind this and the effort that we made is to send out a single message, much like the production safety manual that, you know, Warner Brothers first developed 30 years ago and now is used across the industry as the safety manual. We were hoping to get to a point where there's a security guideline that everyone uses so that the different crew going from one show to another don't always end up saying, but Disney told me to do this and Paramount told me to do that. And, you know, it's been very, very confusing for them, which makes it that much harder for us to convince them to follow our policy on our show. So we're trying to come up with a unified set of guidelines that everyone can live with. The guidelines are comprised of four documents. The main one is a little daunting. It's about 100 pages long. And you can download it. Anyone can download it from the website of the CDSA. We want people to download it. We want them to put their name all over it. Take CDSA off it and put your company's name on it. By all means, use it. It's broken out. Unfortunately, I couldn't show this in the PowerPoint. It's broken out so that there are definitions of assets to explain what assets are in our new environment. So it's not just the assets that everyone knows about. It lists those because we include physical and digital security in the guidelines. But it draws those comparisons so the productions can start to understand that more and more of their assets are leaving the physical world and moving into the digital world. But there's a parallel for all of them. So it defines all those assets. And assets are everything from your email, your contracts, your designs, the PII that you're accumulating, all your payroll records, all those social security numbers, all the medical reports from your CAST exams, and eventually, obviously, the media and the sound that you're recording and producing and editing. So making them understand that the same way they've provided on-set security, security guards, fencing, etc., to protect their physical assets, they have to draw the parallels and see them in the digital world. And so we're hoping these guidelines will help them to understand the parallels. We've included some appendices that aren't so daunting as the 100-page document. There's a one-page checklist. The one-page checklist is daunting. It is a very, very, very full page. And it doesn't tell you how to do anything. It's just there as a trigger, so that when you're sitting down with your producer and explaining why you need to budget for things, etc., they just have this overall, okay, I get it, that's there, that's there, that's there. And just gives you a way to look at the big picture. A general guidance summary. This is about a 30-page synopsis. And what we've done is we've pulled all of the guidelines that are at a management level. So all the instructions and all the recommendations that are aimed at your line producer, maybe your creative producer who's arguing about the costs of things. And they're not the ones implementing it, so they don't need the full 100 pages of the details of how to do X and Y, but they need to understand why you're doing X and Y. So this 30-pager is really an explanation of all the layers of security and why you're doing it. Then we've created a short individual responsibility appendix. This we recommend adding to your START paperwork, maybe incorporating it into your deal memos, maybe it's a separate handout to sign. But just to bring all of it from on board and make them all understand that they are part of the process, that they need to be involved and accountable. And finally, just a simple one, helpful websites. These are websites that have information about security, that provide guidance for at a national level, at an international level, and we will keep adding to those as new ones come up. So we started with the familiar. We've all been protecting our crew for years. We provide physical security for them. We worry about whether they are working in a safe place. We have to deal with them on an individual level. We have to think of them as individuals, and this is both their personal security and also their relationship to your overall security. So you've got the directors, you have designers, you have your security guards. We have to, actually, they need to be re-educated. Security guards on productions have generally not interacted with the crew. They tend to be standoffish. But now that we have this issue of mobile devices coming onto sets and having to really identify who's who on a set and what they're allowed to do. Are they allowed to have a mobile phone on the set? Are they allowed to be taking pictures on the set? You really need to train security to be aware of these new layers. The perimeter has actually walked into your set. It's not just outside the set. Then we're dealing with the physical workspaces, and there are different types of physical spaces, and they have different needs. So obviously when you're on the studio lot, there's already a lot of security before you've even got, you know, you're in a secure space, you don't have the public around, etc. Then there's the temporary production office and all of the issues related to the ins and outs and lack of control in that office space. The editing room, and how are we securing that? How are we separating it from other workspaces? And of course, sometimes, like on The Revenant, we're in the middle of nowhere. And then you have a whole different set of issues. Here, we had to allow everyone to put their information on their devices, because otherwise, once we got up there, no one had anything. But that meant we had to figure out, how do we secure all those devices, because we've just put the whole movie out on everyone's personal. So these are the issues related to the physical workspace. Then, of course, there are crown jewels, the assets, and they are both physical. The script as a paper script is a physical asset. The costumes, the computers that your data is on, the server that your data is on, worse, the USB stick that your data is on, this in someone's pocket. And then the new assets, all these virtual assets, our financials, which are now in the cloud, our designs, the media and how we're moving it around, communications, email. Email, huge risk. We learned a lot during the Sony hack about the issues of email. Productions are having a very hard time understanding the issues of email, but a big aspect of security is about securing private, confidential information in emails. And then, of course, we have our virtual workspaces. And we've tried to design the guidelines to flow so that people see as they're working through them, they're doing the same thing they've always done. There is a perimeter. It's a different perimeter. But instead of a fence, you have a firewall. Instead of a doorway, you have a password. So that there's defining the on-prem and how you're securing that. And then, of course, making sure that people understand the cloud, what it represents. It is a version of the on-prem. It's far away. You have to set up the same rules, just on someone else's system. And then all the services that we use. And it's not just using them. We are responsible for them being securely configured for our show. So they have a certain responsibility. The cloud, you know, Azure and AWS and Google, they have a certain responsibility. Their building has to be secure. Their servers have to be encrypted. But once you are accessing a service on their systems, it's the service's responsibility. And then as far as the security of how their service functions, how it's moving data around, how it's storing your information, but then it's how you and your production configure who has access to these systems and what can they do when they have access. So the responsibility for your asset security when you move to the cloud has many, many layers. I was trying to explain this to someone the other day, and I said, it's like you have a parking garage. They're responsible for the security of the garage. You have a rental car company inside of the parking garage. They're responsible that those cars run and will service you. But then you rent the car, and you're responsible for driving the car safely. So there's all these different layers, and it works in the same in the cloud. And we're trying to draw these parallels in the guidelines. And finally, the guidelines recommend having a security team. And the idea is to elect a group of people on your show who will be given the full security guidelines and the shorter form. We'll have a meeting about it. We'll talk through it so that they can be your eyes and ears and cheerleaders for the security across the show. So somebody from each department who sort of has an eye, who's been better trained in it and has an eye on it. Maybe the person who's given the admin controls for their systems rather than someone else. So if someone is going to be given admin access to your PIX daily system, you want to make sure that they actually understand what that responsibility means and what the settings that they're allowing, what they're allowing people to do, what that means. So it's about having a security team, and of course now we're back to people. So basically the whole idea was to have a single source for production security, allow it to propagate across the industry so that crew going show to show and producers going studio to studio are really trying to implement the same plan over and over and not have to learn it again and again. So with each show, we'll have a new advocate, we hope, and it will spread. You can download all of the information about the guidelines and the guidelines themselves from the website. We are working on a version 2. Version 2 will go deeper into cloud. We're sort of following the TPN. The TPN is developing their controls for the cloud, and based on those controls, we're going to go in much more depth on the cloud in these guidelines. So it's worth revisiting the site to see if there's new information. I wouldn't say weekly, but maybe every quarter, take a look and see if we can put an update. We're certainly going to update the websites to reference for educational purposes. And we're working on having a Word version. Right now it's only PDFs, but if anyone goes to the site and would like the Word version, we are very happy to send it to you. Just contact Guy or me, and then we'll send you the Word version so you can put your own logo on it and say it's yours. And if you need help to implement it, you can call me. I wrote it, I know it intimately, and I now have a consulting service along with a production security service, so if you would like help figuring out how to do this, to train your crew, to work you through creating your own plan that's specific to your situation, then please give me a call. So now, that was quicker than I expected, actually. Does anyone have questions? Can I tell you any more about it?
I was just building it.
Yeah.
How is this different from the NPA best practices?
Much more in depth, and we definitely drew from them. But the NPA best practices really did not address the production office environment. It was really meant for Technicolor. And, I mean, really. And so we spent months going through all those controls, including the MPA controls, and saying, okay, first of all, which actually apply in the production environment? Which are just so technical, there's no point even including them. You know, we're telling them they have to have a secure network firewall with certain layers, but they're going to need an IT person to actually implement that. So we're not, whereas the controls and the MPA get a little more into the weeds on that. And we added controls that are really, really specific to the production environment. And those we had to invent because they didn't exist yet. Anyone else? I don't ask any questions. Okay, well, I really, really, yeah?
Do you have some sort of a batch system for on-site photography or viewing guidelines?
Not so specific about the on-set photography, except recommending that any device that's doing photography or creating information, including photography, that how that device is connected, that should be backing up not to someone's iCloud, right? It needs to be backing up to your system. So definitely recommendations that any device that is allowed on set be a registered known device. Ideally, actually one owned by the production, but if not, at least registered so that data being captured on it is actually being stored on your systems, not theirs. Yeah. And that's where that's this cross section of cloud and physical that there's more and more and more of. And I think version 2, we're going to be able to get a little more detail into that. What's very difficult about cloud, and we've been discussing a lot at every board meeting it comes up, how do we address this, is every SaaS or PaaS, every software or platform solution has different parameters. So you can't have a universal guideline that really addresses every vertical. If you're using a file sharing system, it's completely different than a streaming system, that's completely different than an accounting system. They're all in the cloud. There are some rules that, yes, you can say, the access should be limited, the access should be defined specifically, et cetera. But then within them, how you do that is very, very different. And so there's been a lot of discussion about how to address that and whether we actually create, working with each vendor, sort of convince all the vendors servicing the film industry that they provide best practice guidelines for their system. That's obviously a work in progress.
Well, yeah. Actually, I have a question.
Yeah.
How do you protect on a production, which is short, emails? I get content and I get taking pictures, but you have a production office and people are sending emails.
Well, perfect world, you issue, and honestly, you should always create a production email domain. That's definitely the recommendation. That way, first of all, the production is the owner of the email, not the individuals. If individuals are being allowed to use their personal emails for correspondence regarding your business correspondence, they are the owner of their work product, not you. What is their retention policy versus yours? What is their archive policy? What is their security measures? Do they have any phishing anti-malware protections on their email or not? Not to mention, you have no insight into where, if they've sent the receiving sample, you have no insight onto it. So really, it's very, very important to issue production emails. I think that's step number one. And cybersecurity for film production. Anyone else? Well, short and sweet.
Anyway.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we're good. I'm a little fast.
Thank you.